death looks interesting. How about that? Death looks interesting. We have so many thoughts about death. We have so many thoughts about what death really means and how death affects us. But death looks interesting. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Death looks interesting. All of us have known death at one time in our life, not for ourselves, naturally, because we're still here, but we've known it for other people. We have seen them leave our presence, and they were in a body, and we were talking to the body, and we were living with the body, and delighting with the body, and delighting with the mind in the body. Then one moment, it's there, and the next moment, the body is just an empty shell. There's nobody home. And that's just what death means. There's nobody home. We have moved out of our location and gone to another location. And now, where in the world is that location that we have gone to? Where have we gone to in death? And this is something we all want to think about. We don't want to think about, but we do think about. Death is interesting. Death looks interesting. Now, when we move away from this dimension of living, and that's exactly what we're doing, we're moving from one dimension to another. The dimension is no more than like getting on a ship and going over the horizon and not being seen anymore, or getting in an airplane and flying away, or walking down a road and not returning. When someone walks away from us and goes into a new adventure, they leave California here and they go to Switzerland, they go to India, they go to Egypt, they go anywhere in the world. What are they doing? They are going into another dimension. Now, whether we like it or not, that's what dimension means. Dimension means another experience for them, which does not include us. Now, they may call us on the telephone, we may look at them on Skype, and we may see them on our internet, and we may see them on television, we may talk to them on the telephone, we may somehow send pictures back and forth. But after a while, we stop sending pictures back and forth. After a while, the people on the other dimension, in the other level of consciousness, are not as interesting to us as they were when we were closer to them. Oh, it may be our son or daughter, or our husband or wife, it may be our mother or father, it may be someone that is truly close to us. But even they, when they do not write, when they do not call, when they do not communicate, when they do not communicate, then we lose interest in them. We go about our life. We go about our business. Oh, we might have a fleeting thought now and then of that person that we knew, of that son or daughter, husband, wife, of that grandparent, of that mother, father, whoever that may have been that was so impressive and so wonderful in our life. And in memory, they will always remain there. And in memory, all of life always remains there. But what about whether they are really there? Death is quite interesting. Are people really still alive after they die? Well, we know that actually there is no death. There is no death. There is only a continuation of life forever and ever and ever. Just because we cannot see a person, just because they are no longer in our presence, just because we no longer can technologically communicate with them, with our internet, with a telephone, with pictures, with however we technologically do these things, we can communicate with them, if such is our choice, through our thought. And we do that. Now, we're not going to dwell on the thought aspect here, because one aspect pervades all, and that is, are we interested in them? When they do not communicate with us, and we do not communicate with them, they are out of our thought. They're out of our interest level. We are no longer interested in. You say, well, I'm always interested in my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband. I'm always interested in my mom and my dad, my sisters and brothers. I'm always interested. Ho, 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 ho. We think that. We think that for the moment. Just visualize yourself going into the theater. And you're going in to watch a play or a show. You're going to watch a movie, whatever you're going to watch. Maybe you're at home watching your movie. I think that's a good illustration. You're at home. You haven't left. You're on your own video. You're on your own internet. You're on your own monitor. And you're watching a movie. And you're watching Hogan's Heroes. And you're thinking, oh, how interesting. And little by little, you are wrapped up in the action and the interest of Hogan's Heroes. You see these fellows in this prison camp, and you see them living in this rather limited circumstance, but they're not living in limited circumstance. They have everything they want. They sort of come and go out of the prison camp as though there is no prison camp. They must think about it ahead of time so that they don't mess up their situation, but they are there. They are there. And now, what are the people doing who are outside the camp? Oh, they want to communicate with these people inside the camp because they're very intelligent. They're very remarkable people. And what do the people inside the camp do? They're just as much at home with everyone outside as it is. Now, as Hogan continually tells his men, he says, you are here on an assignment. You have chosen to be here in this prison camp doing these things as we do them. And so, we are not supposed to let our parents know, our family know, that we are doing this type of job. They're only supposed to know that we're alive and well in a prison camp. And until the end of the war, quite possible, we'll be in this prison camp. But even sometimes in the prison camp, they're told they should be shifted. They should be sent home because they're losing their values. Well, they're really not losing their values. They're living there. Now, when these men would come home from the prison camp, they would talk about the prison camp for a period of time. It would still be fresh in their mind. And then, after not too long a time, they'd forget it. If they don't forget it, they're in trouble because they're living in the past. And they're not living in the present. Hogan's Heroes are living very much in the present. What they're doing right at that moment, they are like our lifestyle. We are living in the present, doing what we're doing. Now, if you want to, you can remember what it's like on other dimensions. But are you really interested? Are you really interested to know what you do on other dimensions, who your parents were, where they are, who their parents were, who what you did on other dimensions, whether you were a mother or father, whether you were an executive in some world or who knows, whether you're in a totally different environment, a totally different world, a totally different expression. Life is immortal. Life is eternal. Life cannot be stifled in any way. It's like the atom. It cannot be created nor destroyed. It is. And so our life is like that. It cannot be created nor destroyed. It just is. We are an is. And if I were to remember every avenue of activity that my isness has been in its universal consciousness and its to-be consciousness, which it already is right now, I would not be having very much fun where I am right now. But because I do not think about the past or the future, I only live in the present, I live in the now, I live beautifully now, death is but an interesting aspect of life. Death is but an interesting name I give to other dimensions. I'm not dead. None of us are ever dead. We live on other dimensions. We live in other avenues of expression. But here's another interesting concept here. We live all dimensions of life right now. Right this instant. There's no other time than right now. And we're living all the dimensions that we have ever been in, or will be in, or are in, right now. And as we live all these dimensions right now, it's quite exciting. It's quite amusing, quite amazing. And death is not a terrible thing. It's just like how the play is played. We say we're a child, we say we're a youngster, we say we're a young adult, we say we're an adult, we say we're an older adult, and then we say, well, let's see, we have misused our body, we have not told our body that it's wonderful, that's fantastic, that is glorious, we have not told our body that it's a wonderful vehicle, we have not made a classic out of our body. Isn't that interesting? A classic out of our body. What does that mean to be that we have made a classic out of our body? When a person takes a car, and it is an older model, and it's still in pretty good condition, and they want to rejuvenate it, they want to bring it back to its original purity and integrity, and they want to make sure that all the parts of the car are from the original model. All the aspects of the car, or the original model, there's nothing in that car that is from today. It's only what it was when it was built. So, as they rejuvenate that car and bring it back to its original purity and integrity, people look at it and say, wow, that's a classic. Wow, what a beautiful classic. Sometimes they have a new paint job on there. And they use a paint that was not available in the time the car was built. But then it's not a classic. They have utterly destroyed it because they have taken something from today and put it on yesterday. They have made it not itself. Now, you and I, at any moment in time, at any moment in the eternity of all, say, we're a classic 1995 vehicle, and we were born in 1995, and we think, wow, that's a great year, that's a beautiful year, and as we were born in 95, all of the aspects of that year remain with us. Now, we're born in 1999. Now, being born in 1999, you were a baby. You were just a little baby, and you were a day, a week, a month old, whatever you choose to refer to yourself as. Now, can you make a classic of yourself of the age you were in 1999 when you were just born? Can you do that? Well, we would find that a little impossible, a little difficult. But yet, it is being done. It is being done because every time a new child is born, he is a classic. And now, we don't want the child to remain a child. We want the child to be a full-bloomed being, just as a flower. A seed is very interesting. And the seed can be used for growing a flower or making bread. But the seed is at a level, at a point. And so if we're going to make a classic out of a seed, then we have to seal that seed up into something that will never let it change, never let it grow, never let it disintegrate, never let anything happen. We, in our thought, can make a classic out of ourselves. Now, say, for instance, you are living in a body that has cancer, or that has an illness, or that has a limitation of any kind. Any kind. And you're living in that body, and that body is just not too satisfying to you. And you say, oh, if I only had a whole and perfect body, if I only had a body that was well, if only, and you see, if only is where we are giving up our grip on being who we are. Now, living here in this universe that we are living in, we are living in the human body. We are living in a human body, and a human body has an ideal aspect to it. A human body can be ideal. It's not very often that we see that, but it can be an ideal. A human body can have all of the fantastic qualities to it that the creative cause created it as. Now, we don't know what these human qualities are. We don't know what the allness is. We don't know this because we don't choose to know it. And we don't need to know it. When we say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and we say this every moment of our life, you say, well, my God, when will I have time to do anything else? I'm always saying I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Yes? You would have time to do everything because all time is now. And as you say this, as I say this, as we say this, we empower that. We are bringing back our classic self, our ideal self, the purpose for which we are created, the purpose for which is the seed, the purpose for which the seed is created, or is the plant which comes out of the seed the purpose for which it's created? Or is the flower in full bloom the purpose for which the seed is created? Or is the wind that comes along and takes the pollen from the seed, or the bee that comes along and takes the pollen from the seed and moves it from one plant to another, pollinating the plants and creating other plants to grow and expand? What is our ideal self? Where is our ideal? We don't know, and we do really know, but we say we don't know. And as long as we say other things about ourselves, then I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body right now. When we say that, then life is taking on a totally different picture for us. And death merely looks interesting, not possessive, not manipulative of us, not controlling us, not in any way destroying us. Life is merely a fantastic joy, and death is merely a phantasm, an illusion that came and went, or maybe never came. Death need never come for any of us, so long as we remain in our original purity and integrity. So long as every thought we have in our mind, in our body, in our thinking is our original purity and integrity. When all things are our original purity and integrity, then we are expressing our ideal self. Do I want to live in my ideal self? Do I want to express my original purity and integrity? Do I want to be the ideal being that I am? Or do I want to be a rusty old ship? Do I want to be a body that has limitations to it? Do I want to be a body that is not fulfilling itself, is not revealing itself, is not being itself? It's just being in the latter stages of lack of interest, lack of care. Death looks interesting. Why don't we say life looks interesting? Life looks even more interesting than death, I would think. Because death is just a temporary illusion in a movement on a ship going from here to there. Jumping in a spaceship and off to the moon. Oh, yes, it can be done, but we don't need a spaceship. We can just zip over there as we choose mentally. We can do anything, and we would know exactly what the moon is like. We'd know what Jupiter and what all the others set of planets and so forth are. We wouldn't have to be guessing at it. When we say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, should we be able to sincerely say that and say that with all the conviction of our heart and not really a worried or panicky conviction, but just a delightful conviction. Yes, I am my original purity and integrity. I am my original purity and integrity. I am. It's so wonderful. Oh, my goodness, goodness, goodness. You see, Herb, you're a crazy nut. You lost your marbles. Somewhere between reality and you, there's a gap. What's going on there, Herb? Shame on you. Wake up, Herb. Smell the roses. Stop this pretending that there is no death. Well, my beloved, there is no death. There is only death for those who enjoy it, who claim it.
Oh, my God, and everybody on earth is enjoying it and claiming it.
How little we know. How little we know. I ask you, in all sincerity, have you ever counted all the grains of sand on the seashore? Have you ever counted all the stars in the sky? Oh, you try. Have you ever counted all the galaxies and all the universes that are everywhere and we haven't even begun to be aware of them? Have you ever counted in our galaxy alone the number of Earths that might be there on which people live similar to ourselves? Or the number of places that people live who are not similar to ourselves, but that are being themselves. Do you know everything? Do you know all life forms? We don't even know all the life forms here on Earth. We're just counting them, and we're just revealing them. How many bugs are there? What kind of bugs are there? Oh, loads and loads of them. How many types of people are on Earth? Well, we think we know all of them, but there are a lot of people who are living away in primitive back where areas that we don't know anything about. Now, the statement is made that there are lives within lives within lives, and that we are sitting in our living room having a cup of coffee and chatting with our family. And in our living room are an infinite number of other beings also, as these other beings are throughout the universe, throughout our world, throughout us. And these infinite beings are having just as exciting, just as revealing and rewarding, just as interesting a lifestyle as we are having. And we don't even know it. And we don't know it because we don't care. We're so interested in living in our own limited lifestyle. And it's just as well that we do. But when the day can come so that we can say, I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am, not I will be, not I want to be, not I'd like to be, but I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. When we can come to that awareness, then we will begin to know all of these interloping life happenings within our own living room, within our own body, within our own being. And as we begin to know these things, we begin to reveal to ourselves how exciting it is to be here. But first, my beloved, first, get to know who you are. Get to know who you are right now. You don't have to die. Get to know what this body is. That's just a simple thing. That's just like a car. Do you know your car? Do you know whether you have a Ford or Chevy? Do you know whether you have a Cadillac? Do you know whether you have a Mercedes or a Bentley? Do you know if you have? What do you have? And people who have these different cars, they don't think any differently. They still are living in a human world with human bodies that come and go as a random mannerism. What do you want? What do you want? Oh, you live in a black body, you live in a white body, you live in a red body, you live in a body of all the different varieties of possibilities. And how interesting. And you don't even know about your neighbor. You don't even know about the people in these various bodies and in these various lifestyles. You don't even know because you don't care. And it's okay. But now, you are living in your body. Yes, you are. You're living in your body right now. You're living in your lifestyle right now. You're living in your universe right now. But so are billions of others, but that's not the point. You don't even know those billions of others. We keep adding billions and billions of people to the planet Earth, and we say, my goodness, pretty soon we'd be overloaded. Not really. We're doing this because we're just having fun. Now, when the day comes that you say, I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You will be living in a world where only you exist in your ideal form. And in your ideal form, you are the allness, whether you like it or not. You are the allness. And therefore, you are every being. You are every consciousness. You are every lifestyle. You are every dimension. You are the allness. Every dimension that ever could be, or ever was, or ever will be, and ever is all. Nothing is changing. Nothing is being. Only your awareness is the beautiful thing that is being revealed. And as my awareness and your awareness, as our awareness is revealed to us, we begin to delight in just how magnificent this vehicle is that we're enjoying. And we begin to praise this vehicle, and we begin to recognize this vehicle is right now ideal, and it remains ideal eternally. And though it may change, and quite likely it will, because as we recognize how wonderful it is and we recognize what this vehicle really is, and this vehicle is not the phantasm we think it is something so magnificent, so beautiful, so complete, so wonderful, so outstanding. And we live in it right now. We live in it right now, and we don't even know it. But we can. And the steps that we take to knowing it are like with a classic car. We polish it, we bless it, we delight in it. We don't want it to be different. We don't want to be like somebody else. We don't want to have an image around us of somebody else's limitation. We want only the expression of ourself as the unlimited being that we are. Now, are you ready to take that step today? Are you ready to go beyond this death that looks so interesting? And are you ready to be in the life that is the allness, the life that is the isness, the life that is you? Well, if you are, it's as simple as saying, I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And as you say, I am my ideal spirit, mind, and body, whether you like it or not, little by little, you begin to reveal that in your life. Little by little, you begin to unfold in your world, in your essence, the allness that you are. And as you unfold this, you don't even know it, because you are it. Whenever we have anything revealed to us, we are that which is revealed to us, and therefore it is not something to be or something that has any comparison to anything else. It's because we're the allness. And as we are this allness, how grand it is. My beloveds, claim it today for yourself. I know it's there, and you do too. Know it, and be happy with yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, how I love me.